is a production of Cornell University.
All right, Chelsea, when you're ready, would you please call the roll? Here.
Excuse.
Brown.
Here.
Goodman.
Here.
Goldman.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Unexcused.
She's excused. She's going to be late.
Here.
She's
going
to be late, though. Sure. Here. What was the name? Unexcused. He's going to be late.
Okay. Sorry, 1 second. Great. So now we're going to move into the approval of the September 18th, 2014 minutes. Is there a motion on the floor?
Second.
There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. I'm going to move that we approve these minutes by unanimous consent, but there is no dissent. Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we're going to go into the oath of office because we do have some new members here today. I know that's not on our agenda, but we're very lucky to have them, and their elections are finally through. So congratulations, guys. If you could please stand up. And you guys all have the oath?
Yeah.
Okay. So just repeat after me. In view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me, as well as my personal sense of honor, I state your name. Do solemnly affirm to fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative. I will engage in open and honest debate in a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposely misrepresent facts in an effort to achieve my goal. If a conflict of interest arises, I will relinquish my right to participate in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body, address the issues of my fellow students, and strive to improve the quality of life at Cornell for all students. Great, guys. Take a seat and congratulations one more time. Next, we're going to go into open microphone, so EDP to Keisha.
Thank you. To anyone in the audience who doesn't know, open microphone is a chance for any student in the Cornell community to address a problem or concern or an issue on campus. There goes my water bottle. If you'd like to speak, please come towards the table and state your name.
Can you put the tape on the end?
And seeing none, we are going to move on with the agenda. So I hope you are better.
Great. Moving on to announcements and reports. Our first announcement is an elections announcement by Director of Elections, Anna Kett.
Can you put something on the end of it that it's gone?
Thank you. I have a personal announcement related to the recently concluded election. First of all, I would like to inform the House that the voter turnout in the recently concluded
election.
The voter turnout in the recently concluded election was 2,712. This is up from 2,351 in fall 2013 and 1850 in fall 2012. Individual ballot is the best metric of voter turnout, given that some voters were specific to college year, wherein only those constituents were able to vote. I believe that the increase in voter turnout is remarkable because it comes during a time when there have been a series of resignations. I'm also quite satisfied by the Election Commission's efforts towards improving public outreach as well as enforcing better management practices. I've also identified some areas of improvement that we have learned through the election process and which we will submit for the student assembly's approval for 2015. The vacancies for arts and sciences and LGBTQ positions at Arunachal Pradesh Universities are now being filled. There are some delays in the declaration of the results of the session rate. This has happened because there have been some allegations of violations of election rules. We are trying our best to resolve these issues and declare the results by the next week.
And thank you so much, Kush, for all the work that you and everyone on the Elections Committee has done for the past month. Next is an outreach announcement by Vice President for Outreach, Bhandari.
So I was moving from one election to another. So there is a election going on for Congress. So we're partnering up with the Dems and the Republicans to encourage students to register for voting. So we'll be tabling on the plaza on October 3rd to register to vote. And so please remember to bring your friends. This is an important election. It's another way to voice your opinion. So do sign up to vote, and members of the assembly can please volunteer. I will be setting up information to table for October 3rd. And then an additional outreach announcement, we'll be volunteering into the streets on October 24th, that is Friday, based on the results of the poll I sent out. So I'll be sending you more information, but definitely do stay involved and do send out your outreach department information to me once you have.
Awesome. Now we're going to move into business of the day. The first thing that's up is Resolution 15, Special Project Request by our Vice President for Finance, Jasenko, who just stepped out of the room to get the group. Would you like to move this until later?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're up.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm here to present the special project request for Edwards. It's supposed to be here second, so I'll probably be here shortly. But it should be, in my opinion, not really pretty much a no-brainer for the appropriations committee approved Edwards pretty favorably. Basically, Edwards is a conservative plan on our squad that's involving a number of student organizations that will be performing. They have done a pretty remarkable job reaching out to other co-sponsors. They've raised around $3,000 in sponsorship and have made the appropriations committee requesting $1,600 that will be going to food for the event. They decided that they're going to partner with those students that I was going to provide the first 200 or 300 students who they'd be able to drive 10 minutes as well as we would provide food for students that wouldn't otherwise be able to provide food at the festival. If Farmers Market would be having that next day, if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Is there anyone who would like to be on the speaker's list? Because this is the business of the day, we can debate or ask questions, but eventually we will need to either approve or deny the special project request. Ross?
So it is sponsored by an organization that has an investment. Yes?
EVP is the teacher.
Just a quick question. Is the student organization here to speak on their behalf, or is there anything else they mentioned that you may want to get said?
Yeah, so I told them that the meeting is 4:45, so that is sure. Over here. It's just, okay. I don't think there was much else that they mentioned that wasn't here. Like I said, very well organized, any kind of that sound outside across their seats. So it seems they're pretty much ready to go. There we are. They call us all the seats on the app.
Hi, Bridget. Welcome. You can have like up to 4 minutes to present your project. Vice President Henderson?
Yeah, and just speaking from how Appropriations Committee looked at this, it's free food for 300 people, and we thought it made the event a lot more accessible since the only other food at the event is vendors from the farmers market, which may be more expensive or have a lower amount of food. So we thought it was a good way and a good use of money to increase turnout for the event and do it for, I guess, like a diverse subset of people, which is good.
Vice President Tail.
Yeah, another point I just wanted to make was that the previous year from the special project funding, I think less than even 5% of the amount was used, if I'm not wrong. So that's a great consideration for an event that has such high impact on campus and that's new in its purpose, I think it's very important to be here in funding.
Representative Friedman? Is there anyone else who'd like to speak?
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve and there's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Point of information. How much money is left in our special projects account for this year?
I'm going to yield that to VP Stefanko?
So we have $3,000 that for special projects. So this is what we have.
Wrong.
I'm withdrawing.
Oh, the motion has been withdrawn, just so everyone here. I can't.
Yeah, I can. Basically, it's $3,000 for the semester for the year, and whether or not I can start raising that and spend around half of it at this point in the year. It is for the year. I think this is uniquely one of the better, not the best, event in terms of bringing students from a wide variety of campus. It's really the definition of what social project funding should go to. That being said, it is a significant amount, but I'm planning on reevaluating our budget over the break and looking at places where we're not spending the entire amount and putting so that we have someone from other communities that we can move that to our special projects funding, so we don't have to achieve a bunch of bonds that over the past 2 years we've spent really like 20% special projects fund people are not going to actually get it. So I think that's a great idea to use it, and I'm not worried about the budget.
Representative Zhao.
So we deal with them for the most part on a case-by-case basis, and I think that when they present me, I'm not going to spend any other special projects funding, some examples that have been funded in the past, or like and some other events that like the health around special violence. And those were funded at a similar level to what I remember.
Representative Battaglia? If you want to come forward and use the microphone, that would be great.
My question is for you. I'm just curious. You said we have 300 students to be at the paper group on the like UX students. We do an app that works about 5,000. I'm just curious what you're going to provide. 5,000 of what you're going to need is a lot. You like a lot of that.
Great. So is there anyone else who would like to speak? For our new members, if you want to speak, just wave at me and I'll put you down on our list. We go in order of the speakers. Sure. Max, you can come up and use the microphone as well.
Just a quick question. How are you aware that this college money exists?
So traditionally it's not something that is really heavily advertised. You can certainly find it generally in special projects funding. It's meant for student assembly members to kind of engage with things that are going on in the community and kind of be sort of the last resort for students to look for other funds in a lot of other areas. In particular case, this group went to a large amount of other areas of our town, there have and special project funds traditionally meant to use for, and the student can only push through, we can kind of use dollar amount, and the student is kind of small, I would say emergency, but sort of like a last resort sort of fund.
Representative Alicon?
I'm excited but it is a good move from my understanding, it's just an effective so is it specific to this one event? What do you plan on doing with your part of
Vice President Warshaw.
Hi, I have a question about the theme of the event. I realized that we can talk about with us, so I was wondering if you know, the expected turnout and if you think there will be a lot of people at the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just realized that about when last semester when we felt that it would be usually we find that a lot of people just go to Africa Friday and Saturday.
Representative Liu. Great. Is there anyone else who would like to speak or ask a question?
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, before we go into the actual voting, I wanted Jordan to explain how the voting procedure will work on this one.
Approval of the special topic request will require a minority vote of the voting membership of the action.
Great. So we're looking for a majority of the voting membership, which has now changed to 12 because we have some new members. So, if you would like to approve, please raise a placard. If you would like to oppose, please raise your placard. And if you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 18-0-1, you guys will receive special project funding. Thank you so much for coming out today. And traditionally, when we do fund a special project, we do our best to help support the event and make sure that it's successful. So I just wanted to remind all the FDA members here that you guys should try to be there. And if you guys need any help advertising for it in any way, we're more than happy to help you with that. now we're going to move on into Resolution 8, which is also business of the day, resources and syllabi for mental health. So that's Vice President Stefanko and Vice President Bonzari. Technically, we're not supposed to approve by just friendly amendments, so we'll have to vote on it. But when you guys vote on this, remember that it's something that the sponsors want, so it does have a little bit of weight that it's something that you guys want. Great, so we are going to have to vote on these one at a time.
Do you want us to walk the explanation?
Yes.
Okay. So
wait, before you move on, Chelsea, did you get the language and did everyone else get the language? Yeah, if you guys would like to repeat it one more time slowly before we move into discussion, and we'll go into voting on one and then the other.
Okay. So the first amendment is adding sometimes academic stress can come about as a result of a violent incident. Period. If you believe this is the case, please contact the University of Boston or the Bias Reporting Service. You got it all? Cool. The second amendment is for additional resources, please visit Jeanette, notice and respond with the resources at https://www.jeanette.cornell.edu/notice/resources/jeanette.em. You guys? Wonderful.
Great. So now we're going to go into discussion. Yeah?
In the First Amendment, from what Yami at first said, there was actually a link to the bias reporting.
Yeah, that's
my question.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
how you yeah. Great.
Trustee Gitlin?
I think we've had a discussion of this, which is similar to actually use the speech assembly and backward recognition path versus, you know, you make a response to a question beforehand and then put that virtual path here and make that directly there. It was all our preference to kind of get out of the path and move it. And that part of it, you know, we understand that the speech assembly feels that it's better to go the way the office is suggesting. You know, we can do that notice before if you would like to move forward with it that way.
Representative Fridman? Is there anyone else who would like to speak on these amendments? I mean, you can make a motion if you would like to vote on the amendment, but I would suggest that we do it one at a time. Chelsea?
Just with that, I would recommend support the Gannett notice and bond list. That issue also would make it. So if you just do
okay. So, EVP Batista?
The along the lines of what Trustee Gifford was asking, what benefits do you see in not reading and passing them today when the exact language of what is going to go on the syllabi is listed in the resolution? So if they did have a change, what would happen if that's listed in the resolution, the language as it is? That's my only question.
I mean, I can, do you want me to answer that?
Sure.
So if there is a request by the faculty, you guys could just bring it forward with the new amendment. Like, if it is approved by President Sporton, then we can, you know, leave it as is. But if there's a request by the faculty, and especially the dean of faculty, and you guys would like to honor that request, you would simply just have to bring this back to the assembly, and we would vote on it again for those changes.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're beyond the amendment that I asked around this, is that we really want to be moving on it, and we think that like, having this motion and initial resolution really like cemented and making sure that we're being held accountable and that we're continuing to work on it, rather than saying, oh, we need to talk to XYZ people and go to all these meetings, which I think is oftentimes something that's a little more difficult to do when there's not kind of a resolution that's a support that you can actually talk in.
Great. Representative Alicorn.
Responsible to the students that applications push forward in that are, you know, that are completely suited to meet the Omni-Amnesty that we have done our due diligence in that regard, and then interpretation back to the building and sending it to the folks that are putting it in their syllabi. I mean, if you just look at the words, it's a very strong word, strong effective for like and well written. And I think it will have a lot of impact, and I think there's going to be a lot of pushback from faculty. I mean, having that pushback on the conversations with the faculty that we have.
Motion to vote on the First Amendment.
Second.
There's been a motion to vote on the First Amendment, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go into voting on the First Amendment. So that's the amendment that states that there would be the bias supporting link or hyperlink. So if we are going to vote on this, remember that it's a majority vote. If you are in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to this amendment, please raise your placard. And if you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 19-0-1, the amendment passes.
Motion to vote on the Second Amendment.
There's been a motion to vote on the Second Amendment, and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go into a placard vote. If you would like to vote in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to this amendment, please raise your placard. And if you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. Okay, so by a vote of 17 to 0 to 3, that motion passes. So now we can go back into discussion over the resolution as a whole. Is there anyone who would like to speak? Because I was keeping track of the speakers list for the amendment. Representative Battaglia?
Just overall, whether or not it's worded to say that the exact wording of the resolution is going to be incorporated a little bit, or still alive for me, and the fact that we're anticipating how to push back and our recommendations to the back of the credit, would it be reduced? I don't know, we would be to amend the resolution so that it makes the idea of the recommendation of our resolution to be presented as a move, like if there is feedback to be passed today and then move forward, changes almost a certain amount of a matter of time to use this for our credit.
I mean, it is possible. I guess my opinion is that we're here to put forward the wording that the students would like in the syllabi regarding, you know, mental health and, you know, academic stress related classes. And from what we have today, I feel very strongly that it is the wording that we would like to move forward with. And I think we can get really like in semantics about, like, well, having a conversation with certain faculty senate and like people or like the issues talking to Marshall and staff and not like we haven't had approval and we not talk to any of other hundreds of faculty that might have input. I think that this establishes a really good baseline and a really good start. And I think it'd be a shame if we didn't pass it and didn't get on it because you could have a huge conversation with it that to the point where you're talking about like, hundreds of faculty members and like, after coming here again, you know, we'll be talking like the dean of the district school and well, you know, it's so bad. And I just think if you go forever, and these things can stay fine for like gives us some sort of sway.
Also the recommendation, so it doesn't like it's not like a hard line that they have to do this. So that's why I mean I think that there's that like that and then itself is a level of
great. Is there? Oh, Trustee Gitlin is next on the list. Sorry.
I do think that
Yeah, you can respond.
I mean, the thing is, like, we have had conversations with, like, health professionals and mental health professionals who do this for their job, who have spent time doing it. So, we might not have reached out to them, like, the person who thinks it's best for it, but we've reached out to a lot of people that we think are really good and gotten to a point where we're very comfortable. The amount of people we've had conversations with in terms of the mental health aspect, in terms of reaching out to the faculty, I don't, personally, in this resolution, you have reached out to a lot of faculty about what it has, but right? We're trying to recommend to faculty what has students and mental health professionals who spoken about this a lot of times, what we think should be put in their syllabi. And so, we don't necessarily need to meet the faculty recommendation yet to put this in there. I agree with you on the fact of reaching out to a mental health professional, but we have done that, we've reached out to multiple, and unless you just say that, this person is going to be that much better to be able to put it in, I feel like what I'm trying to say, and I understand that emotional pain.
Next on our speaker's list is Vice President Tail.
Yes, I just wanted to stress once again that the Student Assembly formulated a committee called ADAC, which is the Student Assembly Diversity Affairs Coalition, and the purpose of that committee is to bring the opinion of the staff and the opinion of the Cornell administration while we form that legislation. This specific resolution went through SADAC, and SADAC, according to the annual report, discussed it intensely, and these are the recommendations they came up with. Number one, that so there has been enough, administrative and staff opinion on this. And number two is the fact that the logical sense is that first the students give a recommendation, and then the recommendation goes to the faculty senator, the faculty assembly, or whatever it's called. So that is a logical flow of events. So on both grounds, I believe that this resolution should be put to vote.
Representative Friedman. Great. So if no one else would like to speak, I can move on into our second speakers list. There's only one person on it, and that would be Representative Pataglia. Would you like to yield?
Motion to vote. I think everybody has their viewpoint
second.
On this.
Second.
Great. There's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into voting on this, but Jordan, would you like to explain the vote before we go into it?
The required majority vote of that member is present, and the least two reasons vote is passed.
Great. So this is technically under our sense of the body, because we don't have direct jurisdiction over what the faculty do. So I will ask for community votes first. So feel free, any ex officio members or people in the audience, to raise your hand after I call whether you approve, oppose, or abstain, and then we will divide the two community votes according to those votes. So if you would like to approve of this resolution as is, please raise your hand. Wait, keep your hands like high. Ross, raise your hand up. No. I thought it was up before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. If you're opposed, please raise your hand. If you would like to abstain, please raise your hand. So by a vote of 6-0-1, we are going to have two community votes going towards the vote total on this resolution. So now we're going to move on into student assembly members. If you would like to approve this resolution, please raise your placard. If you would like to oppose this resolution, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. So, by a vote of 22-0-0 total, this resolution passes. Thank you guys very much for your time. Great, now we're going to move on into the next part of our agenda, which is resolutions 10, 11, and 12. So that's our ex officio charter changes, bylaw changes, and standing rule changes, presented by Parliamentarian Berger, Vice President Henderson, and representative from the UA, Battaglia.
4 minutes.
You guys have 4 minutes to present.
So just going back to what we were talking about last week,
There's been a motion to amend and there's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, let's go into a placard vote.
Point of information, so the way that it's written now is good? Okay.
Yeah, if you can go back to that, we originally was different than this.
Right. I changed it. Right, I changed it based on your email. That's fine. Okay, cool.
Do you have dissent or... Do you have a point of information? Sure.
Then I get a motion to amend with the current version, the one change on the final.
you withdraw the first motion?
Yeah, I withdraw the first amendment, motion to amend to the, like, all of these changes except for on line 19 where it says, other, where the other gets changed that operationally, so it reads, like, amendment requirements for all operational activity amendments shall be at the discretion of. So just replace other operations.
Okay, Trustee Gitlin, would you, do you have a comment on the amendment? Okay, well, he did motion to amend, so we are going to move into discussion on the amendment. would anyone like to discuss this amendment?
Motion to vote on the amendment.
There's a motion to vote on the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we can vote on the amendment. Please raise your placard and if you're in favor of this amendment. Mostly just sad. One, two. Please raise your placard if you're opposed to this amendment. And please raise your placard if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 19-0-1, this amendment passes, and now we can go back into discussion on the resolution as a whole.
Yeah, I'm going to amend one more line of resolution 12. So if you go to 36, where it says their respective organization as they should go over outreach obligation, I'm going to strike the end of that sentence to fulfill their outreach obligation. So this is just implied that their outreach guidelines. So why do we just have to reach their respective organization as they see fit here?
Okay, so there's been a motion to amend. Chelsea, did you get that? Awesome. If there's anyone who would like to discuss this amendment, please let me know. Yamini?
So obviously I have been saying about this as extensive outreach. I think after discussion with some of the associate members, I showed you the reasoning behind not necessarily having to make specific guidelines, and I'd like to like clarify that part of the reason because they report to other bodies as well, and I do understand them. So I think I am actually in favor of this amendment as well. Just given the fact that they are their other departments with their own organization.
Trustee Gitlin? He yields his time. All right.
Motion to vote on the amendment.
There's a motion to vote on the amendment. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, let's go into a proper vote on the amendment. If you are in favor. If you are opposed to the amendment, if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 20-0-0, the amendment passes, and now we can go back into general discussion on the whole resolution. Henderson, were you finished? You guys still have a couple of minutes to finish speaking if you'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, this was the main point of contention last week, and I think these are very compromised. We thought about it. There wasn't any reason to require people to do something that would be really unnecessary or irrelevant. I think we satisfy giving the student assembly more information about the other bodies and also trying to assist them. If there are any other questions,
Trustee Gillen? Ross, you have to speak into the mic.
Motion to change the resolution 11, 9, 36,
So resolution 11, line 36?
It can be in a couple of ways. So it could be used motion to amend anywhere to say
any of that says, the government liaison.
Great. So there's been a motion to amend. Is there anyone who would like to discuss this amendment?
Second.
Oh, did you motion to vote? Okay. There's been a motion to vote. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go into voting on this amendment. Please raise your placard if you're in favor. Great. If you would like to oppose this amendment, please raise your placard. And if you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 20-0, all of the times that it said student government, it will now say shared.
And this is the idea of the twice in 11 on the best way to do that.
All right. Now that we're back into general discussion, EVP Batista.
First of all, I just want to give the three of you a thank you for such a quick turnaround, especially considering that this is a pretty big overhaul of the state rules, bylaws, and charter, and I think everyone in the assembly should recognize that that's a lot of work. The only other thing I have a question for the sponsors and possibly our student trustee that's sitting here today is we talk about how it's important to have the interconnectedness of the university assembly and student assembly, and the graduate trustee does, in a sense, represent the GTSA. Do you think there's going to be any loss that we're going to have by not including them? And if there's a way to amend the language in a sense that they're like the only graduate student that could be an ex officio member. The only thing is I just think that we talk about this interconnectedness between like governance and shared governance, and I just think it's something to put on the table in this discussion.
Trustee Dillon. Great. Next on our speakers list is VP Dundari.
Just had a question for the sponsors in terms of the rule made regarding the others. Just kind of a procedural question. Is there like, I mean, is this like something that would be required for them at all, or is this whenever something comes up that's relevant, they should email it, which is already pretty much like a part of the job? I'm just wondering if this is like a bad method of really adding any like procedural elements to the rule.
It's just meant to clarify terms and procedures and make sure there's information sharing.
I would also motion to amend on the suspensions from Juliana and Rob. That would be resolution 11, back page, section 4. I'd like to motion to amend to read section 4, shared governance liaison. A, period. Student trustee, dash, the FA will grant the student trustee ex officio position as shared governance liaison for the duration of their term. And pretty much just making it plural, getting rid of the graduate.
Resolution 10, be therefore resolved, line 19, should probably say ex officio membership dash all undergraduate members except the graduate student trustee or something along the lines of that. The Cornell student body are considered non-voting members of the SA.
All right, well, there is one motion on the floor, so we can do it one at a time so you guys have time to come up with formal language for that. We can go into discussion on the first amendment that they made to Resolution 11, line 36 and 37, or 37. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this amendment? Are there any motions on the floor? There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can move into a placard vote. If you would like to vote in favor of this amendment, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to this amendment, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 20-0, this amendment passes. Do you guys have the language for the next amendment?
We think it's unnecessary to take that amendment because in line 21 and 22, it says the FAA designates the consumer membership of any member of the former community that has been specified graduate.
Great. Excellent. Now we can go back into general discussion on these three resolutions as a whole. The next person on our speakers list is actually on our special speakers list, so if you have not spoken yet and you would like the opportunity to speak, now's your time. Representative Yang.
Just a point of information. We have to approve the amendments to Rule 1 on Resolution
12. Yeah. We have the first amendment to step forward. We need to switch the word of other operational.
On line 19, resolution 12, we voted on it and passed it by 19-0-1. Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah, because the amendment was with all the underlying ordinances except for Bellamy, because the underlying ordinances minus the plus operational. If that makes sense.
I think it was unanimous. The next person on the speaker's list is still the second speaker's list. So if no one would like to speak or ask a question, I'm going to move on to the second speaker's list. Trustee Gitlin.
Motion to vote on Resolution 10.
All right, there's been a motion to vote on Resolution 10. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? What?
You have to go through.
No, we are doing all three of these separately. So first we're voting on Resolution 10, which is the charter change. Jordan, would you like to explain how we'll vote on this?
In Resolution 10, the charter change will require 2/3 voting
So basically it will need 14 votes to pass. So if you would like to approve this, please raise your placard. Okay. If you're opposed, please raise your placard. Oh, yes, I read the wrong column. It is 16. Sorry about that. If you're opposed, please raise your placard. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 19-0-0, Resolution 10 passes.
Motion to vote on Resolution 11.
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into a vote on Resolution 11. Jordan, would you like to explain the vote?
Resolution 11 is a bylaw change. We're required to vote in the matter of presence and pass.
Great. If you are in favor of this resolution, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to Resolution 11, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 20-0-0, Resolution 11 passes. Are there any motions on the floor? Calling the previous question, and there's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we can go into a vote on Resolution 12. Great. This one requires a majority, and majority is 12. So if you are in favor of this resolution, please raise your placard. If you are opposed to this resolution, please raise your placard. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 20-0-0, Resolution 12 passes. Excellent. Thank you guys so much. All right, now we can move on into new business, which is reforming the SA's attendance policy, Resolution 13, by Vice President for Internal Operations, Henderson.
Yes, we did this on the agenda last week, so we just talked about it. It's possible to do this today and go on this day, just a heads up for everyone. This resolution is to change the current attendance policy for voting members to the SA. The current policy has always been that if a member has 3 consecutive absences or 6 cumulative absences during the duration of the term, so either 1 year or however long, so like a new member May 2015. So it's three tough tennis policies, and then you were picked off, your seat becomes vacant, and there's no advantage of us, so it's kind of an absolute policy. And the reason I wanted to change this was because in the past it hadn't been enforced correctly. So in the past, if a member had 6 absences in previous years, the executive board would decide and take a vote. Informally, whether or not there was a good reason for the absences and whether they thought the member would likely come in the future. And I really like this model because it reduces the number of vacancies we have in turnover in cases where we can afford to keep a member. So today, someone misses a significant number of meetings in the fall and then misses their 6th sometime in the spring because of an excused absence. This policy doesn't make it. So once that starts to reach 6 absences, it will proceed just like that, and you'll have to that it will have to look for a replacement for that reason. And the usual process for that is if there's runner-ups in that election, that person will be conceded. If there are no runner-ups, which I think is concerned based on a lot of elections we've had in the past, a runner that isn't gonna lose. They select the candidates from the community to take that seat, and so often we'll have more than one person in the community interested, and then we'll fire up to hold a special election. And so today, someone has to sit absent in March of next year, they lose their seat, and we have to hold a special election just for about a month or two of the absentee term, which I don't think is a good use of any of the time. And I think by having more elections than necessary, it kind of puts us in a perpetual state of election, and delegitimizes kind of what we do. And so my goal is to pass this red font added into the charter policy. And so it reads the executive committee. Well, so the whole policy is what I stated before. The only change is that the executive committee may avert such a vacancy by a 2/3 agreement of voting with executive committee members. The future absence. The committee should consider the reason for past absences and the likelihood of future absences to make the decision. The same action must be taken. Whenever the 3 consecutive absences or the 6 cumulative absences mark are exceeded. So essentially, this is going to be executive board the ability by a high version of 2/3 vote to allow members to keep serving on the student assembly even though they agree to the 3 cumulative 6, or 6 cumulative 3 consecutive. And I think this will help us retain members at least when we can go do a good job.
their terms and kind of keep us from getting a perpetual state of building. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them since we haven't talked about this during the meeting.
Great. So seeing as this is new business, remember guys, this is just questions and anything that's not argumentative in nature. There's been a motion to move to business of the day. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I think we can move this to business of the day by unanimous consent. Seems like everyone is into that. Great. Now we are in business of the day, and now we can debate and ask questions in addition to that for our new members. So first on our speakers list is Vice President Warshaw.
I think it's best to clarify for other members if you describe the absolute policy for outreach requirements. So it does like a certain outreach cycle, how that affects your six total absences.
Yeah, so in our government policy, we use the many absences and outreach absence cycles.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.